actually seems like a good idea after you've had a few.
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, it is good to have you listening. Mike and I are live today out at the Atlanta United Training Grounds, the training facility, and some of you have been out here, some fans, some season ticket holders. Some of you have not. Right off of 75 here in Marietta, and Mike, we've said it. It's one of the most beautiful places, training facilities in the country, but today, guys, our new manager, Frank DeBoer, got introduced to Atlanta United Nation, and we're going to get a chance to talk to him right around 4 o'clock, so make sure you tell Atlanta United fans they need to tune in and check him out. So that's coming up. Also, our first visit really in the new year with Darren Eales today as well.
That's right. As you said, man, two-time executive of the year back-to-back in the MLS, and we were talking with Jason Longshore off the air, who will join us again. He is kind of like our shell answer man. We have questions, and it's funny because even like on Twitter, could be 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and a guy will hit me up on Twitter with a question about United. I go, you know, this is a question for Jason Longshore. And all of a sudden, it's like the bat signal goes up. Boom. Then he's on Twitter, and he's got the answer for us. But as far as when will Miggy get moved, because that is a part of what we expected to happen here in the transfer window, which will have some time to go. But the leading candidates, Newcastle, and that rumor that was heated up earlier this year, looks like it's just a matter of money. So we'll try to get some clarification on that, because it does obviously affect the roster moves. And when we get Pity Martinez up from Argentina, got to have a spot for him.
No doubt. So lots of things are potentially going to be moving and changing in the process here between now and maybe we get back to the regular season. Obviously, we got the CONCACAF right in front of us. So Frank DeBoer is going to talk to us, guys, and I'm excited simply because it is a new era. And, you know, we talk about this. What Tata did, and we're going to talk plenty about the NFL. Do not worry, because coming off of this weekend, it was bananas, and we'll get to it and what it means for our Falcons, because we do want to relate it back to some of the things we saw. But, you know, it is a new era. Tata did a terrific job in the short period of time he was here. We won a championship. I don't think there's any ill will towards Tata, or there ever will be, because he got the job done. But what Frank is going to do, Mike, and moving forward, is what people care about. And how do you take what we have and make it better? And that's really what I want to find out, if he has a plan for that, or maybe he is in the process of doing that here at the training grounds today. Because he said, it's about getting to know the personnel in his presser today, and you got to get to know your personnel before you start doing all these different things.
Right. I mean, it's just the expectations are through the roof. And, you know, we'll have some fun with Darren, because you have sort of created this monster of expectations where, you know, in the second year to do the things that United did, and obviously we're just so excited about, you know, taking it and just maintaining this level of excellence. Everybody else in MLS is putting some work in too, so certainly, guys, we'll talk to Frank and try to get his take on where this goes. And remember, he had a strange ending to his managerial career in England. That wouldn't be the first. I mean, that's a oh boy, there's a graveyard of coaches' careers over there which got sideways. But looking forward to seeing what his thoughts are and what will be the differences from Tata. The thing with Tata Martino is we loved his work, but we never really got a chance to pick his brain. And in this case, we get a chance to talk to the coach, and hopefully throughout the season.
So stay tuned. Lots of that conversation coming up, and I mean soccer conversation from Atlanta United and MLS standpoint, because we are the champions. You can say it with me. Champions! We are. It's Dukes and Bell. Text us, 404-741-0929. You can also hit us up, guys, and find us across all social media platforms. It is 92.9 The Game. Like us on Facebook if you've not already done so. And, of course, you can find us on Instagram. Mike Bell is at Mike Bell ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. This radio show is Dukes and Bell 929, so plenty of ways to access the program. Coming off of what could be our worst nightmare here in Atlanta.
I know.
Guys, it's just the reality of where the NFL playoffs are. The good news is I think these are going to be very entertaining NFC and AFC championship games. The bad news is we've got a chance to see the team that came back on us in the Super Bowl 28-3, I don't have to remind you, and our arch nemesis in the New Orleans Saints, who are playing just terrific football and find a way to get it done against the Eagles. That's next week. Let's talk about what you saw this weekend and how these guys got there.
You know, the Patriots, it's funny. Everybody's writing them off, and well, they just don't have that magic. They don't have that X factor, whatever you want to call it. And you and I talked a lot about Sony Michel, who, by the way, puts in the end zone a couple of times.
You did. You said
you know, and it's the other thing is, you know, San Diego, I give them credit. They were trying to throw some new things out there. They went with, with a bunch of safeties to try to stymie Lamar Jackson, and they went with seven DBs to try to stymie Tom Brady, of which there was no stymieing. But after the game, Gronkowski, to a man, Tom Brady, all said, yeah, they took that stuff to heart. So for everybody who thinks that a team that's been there, done that for like two decades, this stuff doesn't matter, yeah, reports of their demise were premature. They took it to heart.
I found it interesting, and this is the main thing I got from this weekend, and I talk about this a lot, especially with our Atlanta Falcons. In the playoffs, you have to do two things. You have to run the ball, and you have to stop the run. And when you look at these games over the weekend, specifically look, even the Patriots, what Mike just told you about Sony Michel and company, right? But you have to be able to run the ball. What did the Rams do? What did the Saints do? They ran the ball, and they stopped the run. Ezekiel Elliott, guys, had 47 yards in that game the other night. Third fewest yards in his as far as NFL production in his career so far. The Rams set the tone by being able to stop the run and run the ball. And Gurley, by the way, I still don't know if he's 100%, but it didn't matter. C.J. Anderson comes in and breaks you off 423 yards.
And it's a nice kind of combination.
Two touchdowns.
Right, nice combination to what you get from Gurley with him. You're right, man. And then the Saints do just enough. I mean, through hook or crook, I mean, when they needed to finish it off, Ingram had some big runs, but they got over the century mark with 137 yards rushing. The thing with the Eagles and the Saints, brother, we all knew it. You and I were talking back and forth. Everybody said the same thing. Eagles had them. They had him down. And then that Foles pick, the first of the Lattimore picks, just took the momentum and it stopped it cold. And then we've seen this story before. Whenever that Taysom Hill gets on the field.
He's special, man.
Yeah, things start to happen for the Saints. So, I mean, everybody now in hindsight saying Doug Peterson should have taken the holding penalty. Well, shoot, Drew Brees 3rd and 11 is nothing anyway at home. But, I mean, it's just one of those moments where you feel it, you're watching it on your couch, and you go, this game's turned. And it did.
One thing we haven't been able to do, and you talk about our successes, and I got to be honest with you, this is why Keanu Neal is so important to us. You know, and I'm talking about the Cowboys-Rams game, for example. Just to, the Rams created such a complex offense that the Cowboys said, you know what? Okay, we're going to take a linebacker off the field, and we're going to play nickel most of the game. And then they couldn't stop the run. Their safeties couldn't make the plays they needed to make, and it gets back to having a healthy Keanu Neal and how flexible he is as a safety. Mike, I just think when you look at these games, the Patriots did what they do to the Chargers. They you know, dismantled them with the pass game, but it was the run fundamentally that got them on their heels. The Saints did the same thing. The Rams did the same thing. And, guys, we talk about our offensive line and our defensive lines. This is what it's about. This is why these games on Sunday are going to be so intriguing to me, because I truly believe, forget all the skill guys, what's going to happen up front with the Rams and Saints and the Patriots and Chiefs are going to allow Patrick Mahomes and Brady and company to do what they do. Mahomes, he didn't even throw a touchdown, Mike. He ran for one.
Yeah, that game was kind of funky, wasn't it? A little bit different than what you might have expected. I mean, we all went in there thinking, and you and I were of the same mind, that the Colts were the hottest team in the AFC. Everything was clicking for them. Obviously, the huge momentum after starting, you know, 1-5 and then rolling up all those wins. Well, out the window their game plan went. And then the one thing that would have maybe, just maybe, put some pressure on Andy Reid, because everyone just expects Andy Reid to become the Kool-Aid man and blow up.
Yeah.
When Vinatieri misses the field goal before halftime and then misses the extra point, you could have had it down to a one-possession game, where then things are differently. Then Kansas City's got to perform, and they've got to get the job done, which they haven't had to, you know, had a chance to do that yet with this team. But that aside, in the AFC, the other storyline, which I thought was kind of interesting, you know, Josh McDaniels might be a weirdo, a creep. Maybe people don't like him. It didn't work out in Denver. He backed out on the Colts. How brilliant was the game plan? They said, I love Tony Romo, by the way. You and I have talked about how good Romo is. Can't wait to hear him call the Super Bowl.
He's good.
Romo's saying they're pulling stuff out of the playbook from 5 years ago. They're pulling stuff back. I mean, it was a Whitman sampler, basically, of all the Patriots' successful plays you've seen in the last 15 years.
Yeah, Brady was brilliant. I don't know if you expect anything less at this point. Listen, we know what happened with us, but this dude is the GOAT. I mean, there's just no way to put it. Do you realize this was their 13th conference championship appearance in the Brady-Belichick era? Just think about that for a second. 13 conference championship games. I mean, I can't even fathom that, Mike. It would get old, I think, here for us because we'd be like, oh, we're in another conference championship. Here they are again. And the guy had, what, 233 yards in the first half.
You see they're up like four scores and he's yelling at his lineman because they had like a three and out or whatever. They got stopped on a drive. I mean, the way that team functions, and again, it really is a nightmare, the idea of the Saints and the – I had to root for the Eagles. You tell me I got to root for the Patriots potentially in this bad boy? Here's the one thing, though, and we'll talk
– No, I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
But here's the one thing. We'll talk more about this during the NFL Blitz. The Sheldon Rankins injury is huge for the Saints. Torn Achilles.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, that's part of their change on defense and becoming the dominant run-stopping defense they've become is because of Rankins. Now they don't have him for the rest of the playoffs.
Well, everybody wants to talk about 92, and I've been saying this all season, and this is for football heads. It's always been about Rankins. Rankins is the most dominant defensive interior lineman they have, and now that he's out, you saw it Sunday. They didn't get that push up front. I mean, 92 was close, but he wasn't getting home.
A lot of injuries in that game, too, for both teams.
Absolutely. So, Mike, you're right about Rankins. I don't know what that means for them and maybe how the Rams decide to attack them now differently than what they did the last time. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are broadcasting live again from the Atlanta United training grounds today as we'll bring you more information as our new manager was introduced to Atlanta and United fans. And we're excited to have him on around 4 o'clock. Talking some NFL football right now, though, and – you know, by the way, if you want to chime in, you're more than welcome. I just think when you watch these games, the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes' ability to make the plays that he made, Mike, everybody, you know, talks about the Chiefs and their agony and not winning these kinds of games. They're finally back in an AFC championship game, and they're hosting it. And just for that reason, you might be thinking, all right, I just saw what the Patriots did, but maybe I like the Chiefs. But, you know, both of these games going into next Sunday, that is, with the Rams, the way they played, they were dominant, man, on both sides. And we talked about this. Cowboys defense is going to keep them in it. No, it didn't. It didn't. And
well, actually, they did bog them down to settle for field goals. I mean, they slowed them a little bit. I mean, you could argue that, you know, three field goals for the Rams in the red zone. The Cowboys did enough, but unfortunately, with that offense, they need one more weapon for Dak. They need one more weapon on that
Cowboys
offense.
Got the ball and ran down their throat. I didn't think they stopped the run at all. And I personally think they got, you know, slapped. They got pimp slapped. I really did. I did not feel at any point in the game the Cowboys were going to be able to slow down the Rams' run game. And to me, that was the most impressive thing. What about you guys? What are you thinking outside of our worst nightmare? 404-741-0929. Who are you giving the upper hand to? And did somebody, you know, is a favorite for you now? And it's so hard to pick against the Patriots, as Mike just said. You know, you look at Josh McDaniels and what he does week in and week out. The brilliance of Josh McDaniels, and this is something I don't think anybody's been able to replicate, is whatever the game calls for, it's what we're doing. No matter.
Right. You know what the other thing is, and I've said this on Twitter a number of times in the playoffs too, and we'll talk more about this as we get ready for our draft coverage here on 92.9 The Game, but isn't it funny to see all these dogs making big plays? UGA, Bulldogs making plays. Mr. Dimitroff, they're right here. They're right here. I'm not saying this is the – I mean, this class isn't all that impressive as far as the dog players are moving on to the next level, but over the years, and you look and you see what Georgia players are doing in the league, and they're going deep into playoffs and they're winning championships, and you look at the Patriots and how much they use Georgia players. Something we might want to look into down the road.
All right, man, we're going to give you a chance to win $1,000. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. Coach Bud returns over the weekend.
That's right, I'm back.
More about these NFL playoffs, and also we're going to get a chance to hear Mike Conte with our newest Atlanta United member. What an amazing story this young man, Anderson Asiadu, I believe is how you say his last name, drafted out of UCLA, an amazing story from Ghana. You'll hear that interview coming up as well. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Queen Latifah had a song, U-N-I-T-Y. All right, that's for all you old hip-hop fans. Unity, U-N-I-T-Y is the word. Text
Unity.
It to 72881. 72881.
Are we giving away money yet? What's going on here? Usually we're like we're all over the place.
And I have no idea.
Oh, let's get on. You're making us look bad. Unity gets texted to 72881 for your shot at a grand in the 2 o'clock hour.
All right, guys. Coming up, we'll hit some headlines. Also, what did Jason Garrett have to say after that Cowboys loss? A lot of people calling for his job. We'll explain next. We got Darren Eales coming up live with us here at the Atlanta United training grounds today. It's Dukes and Bell. 3 o'clock, he's going to join us, and we'll get a chance to talk to the executive of the year once more. And again, guys, you know, we knew that Frank DeBoer was going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. The new manager will join us at 4 o'clock. But, Mike, this is the first time we've had a chance to hear from him today as he was introduced to the public.
Right. So, I mean, we want to break the ice. We want to make a good impression. Because, you know, that thing, we were talking about this before the show, you, me, and Jason Longshore. Media over in Europe is just ruthless.
Yes, they are.
I mean, take, like, the worst of, like, Boston and Philly and then jack that and ratchet that up times 10. And that's what you get in, like, the English tabloid press and the Italian media.
They kill you.
I mean, when you're involved with some of those heritage teams or even a team like Crystal Palace, which has been on hard times for much of the last decade. So I texted a buddy of mine, Ubo. And,
is that his real name?
Ubo Faber. He was an exchange student in my high school.
Okay.
And I said, you got any snappy Dutch jokes we can break the ice with Coach DeBoer?
Ubo
Faber.
Faber.
It sounds like a... I know. So anyway, so I reached out to Ubo. There he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he gave me some stuff. But he goes, tell him that the Herovine in my local team is the best. Ha-ha. Okay, okay. So I'm sure that'll get no response.
Yeah,
but anyway, I'm trying to find a way
rocks.
To break the ice. So we'll see. But again, we're just excited because as cool as Tata was, we never got a chance to converse because I took French in high school.
Yeah. And listen,
you should have known some Spanish growing up in Texas.
No, I do know Spanish. I've told you this. I don't speak it fluently. I'm the guy in the grocery store that when I hear Spanish or somebody speaking Spanish with their kids, I understand it. I laugh. They get a sense that, oh, do you know what I'm saying? But I don't speak it that well, so I'm always reluctant. It's just like somebody who doesn't speak English well. They're like, oh, I'm not going to go there. So either way, we'll hear from him. By the way, just a quick update on our manager, which I think is very cool. He speaks a multitude of languages, guys. I think it might be 5, if I'm correct. Maybe 4 for sure. Either way, Frank DeBoer is going to join us at 4 o'clock, so be sure to stay tuned for that. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live again at the training grounds today. Craig back at the studio. He is our engineer. Bo Morgan producing the show on site today. And once again, Jason Longshore and Mike Conte are set to join us as well. The voice and our analyst for Atlanta United a little bit later on in the show as they've been out here gathering a bunch of things. We get ready for CONCACAF, and obviously they're getting ready to ratchet things up again as far as the training is concerned. Hey, Craig back at the studio. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Well, let's start with Frank DeBoer. Here's what he said in his presser today, Mike, when he was asked about, you know, Atlanta and why he chose this job.
The philosophy of the club, the structure of the club, the core values, what for me is a very important issue. Everything, you know, was really fitted to me personally.
Okay. So, listen, we take jobs for different various reasons. Obviously, this is an attractive job because the team's winning, and you've got a lot of young talent in the pipeline.
But I mean, like you know, guys out there, if you ever switch jobs, you want to go to a culture that's inviting and it's kind of, you know, fits your game plan. I mean, you go to a place where it's all buttoned down and really corporate and tight, and you come from maybe a more loosey-goosey, smaller environment, a smaller company. Sometimes that's a hard adjustment. So I mean, I'm just applying it to here. So look, it's an attacking style. We got all the guys already in place. He's really good. His reputation is developing younger players. We've got a ton of those here, you know. And how quickly we'll see, George Bello. Why we moved on from a guy like Greg Garza, not to mention Andrew Carlton, all the young guys at Atlanta United, too.
So more from Coach, or should I say our manager, Frank DeBoer, coming up at 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, let's get back into some of these NFL playoff games. Mike talked about what the Patriots did. Mike said this last week, and he asked a question, and he kept saying, don't you think Sony Michel will have a big role in this game? And we both were like, yeah, you just don't ever know with the Patriots. But he did. And, you know, big shout-out to Sony, who is representing UGA, obviously. He had a monster game. Pats win 41-28. Guys, this game was over in the first half. It was 35-7, and I had tuned out. I'll be honest with you. Sony had 3 touchdowns, but here's Belichick. Bill Belichick talking about, you know, this is their 8th straight AFC championship game.
I mean, honestly, I don't really care about that right now. I'm worried about this team and what this team has done. This team's worked hard all year to put itself in position to compete for the AFC Championship, you know, obviously against a great team in Kansas City. So that's really what we're focused on. Whatever happened last year or some other year, you know, whatever it is, it's all in the books. This team's got a lot in front of it, and that's really what we're going to focus on is what this game can do.
I mean, you'd expect nothing else from Coach Belichick right there, and they get the job done. Could be the final game for Gronkowski up in New England if he's going to walk away. He did say that he only wants to catch his footballs from Tom Brady when there was a suggestion he might have gone to Detroit in the offseason in a trade. But the other thing is, you know, guys we take for granted and maybe you forgot about, I don't know if you saw this in the first half. How about Julian Edelman fighting down the sideline, fighting off two Chargers to move the sticks? I mean, just the dirty work, the underneath stuff. You know, then of course the vertical. I mean, they can do it all. But Sony Michel in the red zone using that speed. Of course, Georgia fans just waiting to see him get 100% healthy. And he had some stops and starts this year with some of the injuries. But boy, he looked great on Sunday.
That he did. I don't know if Belichick cares or not. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe this is what makes him great. But when it's all said and done, and I've said this time, and I said this 3 years ago, I said it maybe 5 years ago, he's the best to ever do it. At that level, it's not even close.
How are you going to argue it?
It's not even close.
No, and I've said this before. I don't mean this as a shot. I'm just saying it's the reality. They play in the most winnable division in the NFL, but they're able to get through it. Here's another year where nobody – it was kind of lackluster at times. They didn't win. Okay, so what? What's the magic number? They got to win 14 games for us to pay attention to them? You know, Tom Brady doesn't have it anymore. And here they are, once again, as you said, what, 8 years in a row now in this AFC Championship.
While we're talking about Belichick, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. I got to ask you about Phillip Rivers. You asked me this maybe even before the season started. I know our man Randy McMichael played with Phillip Rivers and had a lot of positive things to say about Phillip. And we're not talking about him as a person. I'm talking about him as a quarterback and his legacy. Mike, this is the legacy. Now he's played in a couple of these AFC Championship games. And whether it was him, which it solely wasn't yesterday. I mean, their defense got picked apart. But, you know, you get blown out like this and it screams – man, this is what I expected from the Chargers and Phillip Rivers.
Well, I mean, they had such a great defense. Some people were saying, I read again, it's difficult because they're not really drawing in L.A. and the interest, but some of the L.A. writers were saying perhaps they should have stayed on the East Coast. You know, once you knew what the draw was, you know, I mean, okay, easier said than done logistically. But, yeah, that was one of the excuses that they were jet-lagged. Whatever, come on. You're trying to get to the AFC Championship, this divisional playoff round. He did lose his only AFC Championship prior. He's 0-8 versus Tom Brady head-to-head. He's a true competitor, but, I mean, look, there were some balls that he underthrew. There were some times that he was getting rushed, and it was just – look, Patriots had a plan. And the Chargers tried to do some things, as we said, with the 7 DBs. And then, obviously, Josh McDaniels and the Patriots counterpunch.
Let's talk about the Cowboys and Rams. Here's Jason Garrett, by the way, and I said it to start the show, and I'll continue to talk about it. Falcons, you got to be able to run the ball, and you got to be able to stop the run.
They were
the
committed.
NFL, for all that it's changed, it hasn't changed that much. Go ahead, Craig.
They were committed to stopping our run. They had a lot of people around the line of scrimmage, and that's what they were going to do. When we were in three wide receiver sets, they were staying in base defense, and they just wanted to stop the run. And that gave us some opportunities in the passing game that we're able to take advantage of. Obviously, we're at our best, and we're balanced, and we're throwing it and running it. But they were committed to stopping the run, and we had to run them out of that, and at times they did a good job of that.
One playoff win under his tenure. Jason Garrett deserved to continue to coach the Cowboys. I don't know. It's not my decision. If I was Jerry Jones, I'd move on. But, you know, there are reports out of Dallas today he is going to go after Lincoln Riley. Riley just signed a new deal. He's got an extension with Oklahoma. I don't know where he's going. But, Mike, obviously there is a loss of confidence with Jason Garrett with the team that found its stride during the season. And we saw it right here at Mercedes-Benz with our team. And then, you know, you get into this game and people go, well, the effort wasn't there. La, 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 la. And it's Jason Garrett's fault.
I mean, look, to me, he's just the Dallas equivalent of what Marvin Lewis is. I don't understand how he's lasted this long other than the impression that he acquiesces to everything that Jerry asks of him. You know, so I don't know if the players tune him out. I heard the comments of Terrell Owens about this. But I'm not impressed. I've never been impressed by the guy. Look, he was a great backup, but I think you've seen enough. I think you've seen, if you're a Cowboys fan, the sample size. Now, I don't know if going to an unproven college coach is the way to go. And I don't know why Jerry's fixated on Oklahoma. Of course, he brought Barry Switzer just to tick off Jimmy, you know, 20-some-odd years back. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to move on, I got to find an offensive mind. The guy I would go throw my money at would be Josh McDaniels, but he's now waiting for Belichick to retire.
Here's Garrett. He was asked the question about how do the Cowboys get over the hump. They got a lot of young talent. They're good. But how do you get past this?
We just have to grow as a team in all areas. We have to get better on offense, better on defense, better in the kicking game. We have to continue to create competitive situations with our personnel and our roster so we can grow. And we have to learn from our experiences, a lot of different experiences this year that we'll grow from, we'll develop from.
You know, it's just that's just boilerplate coach speak, and that's uncompelling. That's, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm like, yeah, mush. All right, on the flip side, Rams run for almost 300 yards on the ground.
They owned them.
Sheldon Rankins is now out for the Saints. Should Falcon fans have some hope? I was joking around like Star Wars. Help us, Jared Goff and Rams. You're our only hope. Have you given them more than a puncher's chance?
Oh, no doubt. Listen, I think, again, what they did to the Cowboys and stifling Ezekiel Elliott the way they did, they could potentially do that to the Saints. Here's the issue, though, on the other side of this, Breeze is not Dak.
No.
Okay.
No, Breeze is not Dak in a big way. And that home field advantage, we've all seen it. I want to root for the Rams. I couldn't believe what I was seeing with the Eagles. It's just, you saw them just losing all that momentum, and here we go. But, just like the Patriots, you look at the Rams, you go, what did they learn from that game back in the regular season where I thought McVay got a little too cute, kind of forced the issue sometimes. Maybe he should have settled for a field goal. Remember that? There's some moments where hopefully he learned from it as a coach, and hope that Wade Phillips, as you said, those guys are going to get after it, because now with some of the issues on the they had injuries on the offensive line. Who was it? One of the guards had surgery? So, I mean, they've got some things they can exploit, the Rams do.
Last but not least, as Mike talks about the Saints, let's hear from Sean Payton. Saints come back. They were down 2 touchdowns. You saw it. Here's Payton.
There's going to be games where you fall behind, and we've played in a handful of those already. And I think there's great faith in both sides of the ball and the kicking game to weather any storm like that. And, we were able to today.
Yeah, they showed a lot of grit. We'll get more into this in our NFL Blitz segment. But there's something that defined the Saints yesterday, and I think it really took the heart of the Eagles. And it wasn't the fake punt. We'll get to it coming up. Hey, but coming up next, you'll get a chance to hear from one of our newest members here at Atlanta United, Anderson Asahadu. That's Asahadu is how you say his name. And Mike Conte had a chance to catch up with him, Mike. Kid out of UCLA, he was drafted in the draft on Friday. You'll hear what he has to say. Young man's excited about being here and certainly excited about being a part of Atlanta United. That's next on Dukes and Bell. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll get a chance to visit with Darren Ills. He is the executive of the year again, of course, president of our Atlanta United. Makes a weekly visit with Mike and I during the regular season, and first time we've gotten a chance to chop it up with him since the new year. So stay tuned for that. We'll get his thoughts on Frank DeBoer and a lot more as Atlanta United really, Mike, just kind of turns the page and starts getting back to work. Meanwhile, on Friday, while we were out at Twin Peaks, and thanks for everybody who came out to visit with us out there in the Buckhead location. We'll be back out in Kennesaw just a little bit, maybe a couple of weeks from now. But thanks for everybody who came out there. Our own Mike Conte got a chance to catch up with our newest member of Atlanta United, Anderson Asahadu. And Anderson is a kid that has a great story. If you're not familiar with it, go check it out. Go read about it. Unbelievable story. Probably should have never made it out of Ghana, but he did. And the first thing Mike Conte asked him was, how crazy have your last 2 weeks been? Because, guys, he was also the MVP of the Combine.
The last few weeks has been great. You know, first of all, I just thank God for the opportunity, even for the Combine. You know, I was going there to prove myself to the people to see who I am as a player. So I show up there to do exactly what I'm good at, you know, to do the best of the best I can, my ability. So all this coming is just, you know, I thank God for the opportunity, you know, for getting all this, you know, all this praise from people, and, you know, especially taken by the best team in a country. This is like, it feels amazing. I can't even think out of my mind. My mind is blowing up right now. Like, how I've gone from like a combine to the best team in the country. Oh God. So I just feel like excited, you know, not just for myself, but for my family, and especially for the city of Atlanta for having me.
Did you have an opportunity to see Atlanta United play much over the last couple of months when you were out at UCLA?
Yes, I did watch a couple of games against Atlanta. I watched a game against Red Bull and at Atlanta, and I watched the final game because of the timing with UCLA and the timing of the East Coast and the West Coast. I wasn't able to watch every single game of the season, but I heard they have Atlanta was the best team in the country, so I wanted to follow them, and they have like excited young players, like especially the league MVP. You know, I admire him for his hard work. He's from Venezuela and how he worked hard. So I was watching all these little, you know, details on the field and also like special players on the pitch. So, you know, I had opportunity to see Atlanta over these couple of months.
Is there a player internationally or maybe domestically that you try to model your game after?
Yes. I model my game against Conte. You know, I'm best at winning balls, and I want to be best at it. You know, I just, you know, getting this opportunity to be in front of the best coach, you know, Frank DeBoer, I just want to get this opportunity to go out there and learn from him to become the best at it. You know, when he interviewed me, he told me that, you know, I know how to fish. You know, I know how to fish, and that's what they see in me. And, you know, being a fisher, I want to be a good fisherman. You know, so I'm going out there in his hands for him to teach me how to fish more. You know, learn from him how to become a good fisherman. So I model my game around Conte because he fit my shoes. He's like the same height as me. And, you know, like, you know, he proved people wrong, you know, like, you know, he came from like a small club, from, you know, like fans to like a big city to win a championship with a big club. So that's who I model my game around.
What are your expectations now as MLS training camp basically opens up next week? Are you going to be fighting for immediate MLS playing time? Do you expect maybe to play a little bit with the second team in USL? What are your expectations for the next couple of weeks and months?
I'm just a beast, so I'm just going to go out there and prove what I got, you know. And through my hard work and dedication, if you get me to play on a first team for a couple of games, I respect it and I love that, you know. I'm a competitor, so I love to compete. You know, I love to get an opportunity and make good use of opportunity. You know, so whatever comes in the way for me going this couple of weeks, I'm all about it. You know, I'm not going to say, okay, I want to start right away. I want to do this. I'm just thankful for the opportunity. I'm going to go out there and prove it. And if how I prove it, give me something in the end, I would love to do that. You know, I would love to use how I want to. I would love to use my opportunity to be on a pitch. So I don't have any preference or any time, but all I want to get there and prove myself to be on a team and to be a good player and a good teammate to Atlanta.
Quite frankly, Anderson, reading up on your personal story, it seems like what you've been through over the last few weeks, what you're about to go through in training camp, pales in comparison to your upbringing and how you came to the United States and all the adversity you had to get through to get to Monmouth College. Is it fair to say that soccer is easy compared to everything you had to go through to get here?
I wouldn't say soccer is easy. You know, it takes a dedication. You know, for me to be here, it took a dedication and hard work. You know, I risked a lot. I took a lot of risk. You know, I didn't just, it was just a guy who just got here because of my beauty, because of my, you know, who I am, because of my country. I got here through my perseverance and my hard work, you know, my consistency at what I do, you know, so. I wouldn't say it was easy for me, you know. You know, I just work hard. I'm a guy who works hard at every day. You know, I would love to work hard, you know, and I love working hard because that's how I can see myself and my family. You know, whatever I do it with respect and love and hard work.
Atlanta United has incredible fan support, Anderson. You will routinely play in front of sold-out crowds at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. How much does that excite you, getting picked by a club that already has a tremendous amount of fan support, where you're going to come to Atlanta and you're going to be an immediate celebrity?
I can't just, you know, at this moment, I'm more than grateful for what Atlanta United has even done for me. For picking my name, it means a lot to me. You know, not just for me, for the city. You know, what everybody, the coach and the staff believing in me to become a part of this city, oh, I love it, you know, and I can't wait, you know, it's not just for me. I want to prove to the city, the fans, everybody there, you know, that they got a young, humble guy coming in from a good place with a good family, you know, who want to prove himself for opportunity, you know, so I can't wait to get it started, you know, like I love the city of Atlanta, and, you know, I can't wait to get it started.
Anderson Acedu, guys, our newest member of our Atlanta United with our own Mike Conte. That happened on Friday because, again, the draft happened. And Mike and I were just talking amongst ourselves out here at Atlanta United's training grounds that this young man, I mean, is skilled. But you hear his energy, Mike, and again, how can you not root for a kid like this?
Yeah, man, great article that Doug Robertson had in the AJC as well, talking about his journey from Ghana to UCLA and now to Atlanta United. Great job by Mike Conte. And again, he's just excited about the kid. Talk to Jason. We'll get Jason Longshore in here, our soccer expert, a little bit later. But he was saying at the combine, apparently, he was clearly the most athletic, okay, the most skilled player, and that's why he won the MVP of their combine, for what it's worth. But the reason other teams pass, like, well, I'm like, well, I asked Jason, how did he get to us? He goes, they think he's too small. I go, we love small guys at this team. Remember, we got nothing but small guys that are really fast, and it worked out for us. We got a championship, so seems like a really good style fit.
I hope so, man. Listen, our depth is something that is a credit to what our organization has been doing. We're going to talk with Darren Eales about this a little bit more coming up in less than 10 minutes. But, you know, now you add to that. I don't know, Mike, if he comes in and immediately, you know, has an impact, but the deal for us has been, you know, the way that these guys have been used, and this is something, again, Tata did a great job of. I'm not sure how Frank DeBoer is going to do it, but, you know, you have the access to a lot of talent. And how you maneuver that and how you play that talent, especially now it seems like we're going to have more games, you know, played and more opportunities. You really have to manage that depth.
Yeah, man, there's going to be a bunch of those dreaded 3 games in 7 days. We were just talking about it off the air. There's 7 games in May. There's an incredibly difficult stretch in March, you know, where we're going to be using a lot of guys from Atlanta United, too, from reserves. You see a lot of reserves being used. And part of the reason DeBoer is here, as you said, is because of his experience in getting the young guys involved and helping them develop. So, yes, you're going to see a lot of lineups, perhaps, maybe we're playing, you know, hypothetically against some of the lesser opponents, where maybe you're going to see some of the guys from United too, and this also gives them a chance to play on that level as well and continue to get more experience.
All right, so more about and from our Atlanta United brass coming up here at the training grounds, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. Lots more about the NFL playoffs as well. The AFC and NFC championships are set. We've got an NFL blitz on the way, but when we come back, they've won the championship. They've hired a new manager. What else has Darren Hills been up to? We'll find out next.